Here's Mary, this young girl in Nazareth, minding her own business, living her life, and all of a sudden the angel comes in and says, announces to her, you are going to be with child, not by man. You're going to be the mother of the Savior. That's a transition. I mean, any of you women relate? That would be a kind of a transitional day for you.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy is continuing the introduction to his transition series. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you much, Kurt. Appreciate it. And thank you for participating in the this week and sharing your transitions and what God's teaching you during transition. And if you didn't get a chance to get yours on the air, share it with us on our comment line, our story line at 888-888-1717. And we'd love to hear from you there. In a moment, we're going to pick up this series as we continue this introduction on transitions. I'd ask, what transition are you going through right now in your life? And I would like to say we're kind of in a transition, coming out of a transition, or in the middle of it. It seems like life has that ebb and flow to it. And the quality of our lives often depend upon how we choose to deal with transitions. As Christians especially, it's important to understand God's intention with this. So we're going to pick up this teaching here in just a moment. Before we do, a couple of things I want to mention. The upcoming series of conferences that we're putting on around the country for couples to help you intentionally learn to love and grow in your marriage will begin coming up in just a few weeks here, March 24th, at the Agape Church in San Luis Obispo. And it's going to be a great night. My wife, Don, and I will be there. We're going to have a great time with our staff and with you all. If you haven't registered, do so. Check it out. And then also, Hope Not Shame is a conference I get a chance to speak at the Calvary Community Church in Phoenix coming up on the 18th here, just a few days away. So check it out at theintentionallife.com. Okay, let's move over to our teaching studio where I continue this series on transitions. What I'm saying is, for the sake of this lesson, we look at transitions, they can be life-changing. And as Christians, we need to always be ready for these life-changing moments. When I think of transitions and how they can be life-changing, I was thinking of, in the scripture, the story of Mary. You know, Mary started out on the day that it was announced that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. She started out as an ordinary day. I look at these stories and I try to really make them as human stories. I mean, here's Mary, this young girl in Nazareth, minding her own business, living her life, and all of a sudden the angel comes in and says, announces to her, you are going to be with child, not by man. You're going to be the mother of the Savior. See, that's a transition. I mean, any of you women relate? That would be a kind of a transitional day for you. How did she handle this transition? It's interesting. Look what it says. It says in Luke 1:39, now Mary arose in those days, and this is right after the angel had left her and told her this, and she went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. She went to be with Elizabeth. For 3 months, she left. It doesn't really explain. I mean, you can kind of read, you know, that encounter with Elizabeth and all that went on, but what was in her mind of packing up and going to the hills? Was it, hey, the embarrassment? Was it, how am I going to explain this? Was it some rejection from the community? Was it that she had to process this and be with someone that she could trust? But when all of a sudden this huge transition was going to occur in her life, she chose to go to the hills, right? She chose to go to a place where it wasn't the ordinary. And sometimes that happens. You ever been there where something's happening in your life and you just have to get away? You just have to have some space. You just have to have a few days, a few weeks. You got to think about it, pray about it, talk to others, reflect, you know, really, because of the noise and everything that's going on. Man, I can imagine being Mary that would make sense. I'm going to go to the hills for a while, be with Elizabeth and try to process what's going on here. Even though she accepted this and knew this was God's plan for her life, it was certainly a change. And that transition, her response was to go to the hills. Now, another thing, transition can be a change in identity. And we're going to see that in the days ahead as I talk about retirement, as I talk about the empty nest. You know, retirement's a change in an identity. Those who have worked, especially if your identity is related to having a title and a position, all of a sudden you go into retirement and now you're not that anymore. You know, you're somebody different. You have a new identity. You go to an empty nest where all of a sudden you were a parent, you were responsible, you're raising the kids, and all of a sudden the kids are gone. You got a new identity. Yeah, you're still mom, but it's not the same kind of identity. And we depend so much on our identity. Identity is so important to us. And as Christians, we know our identity is in Christ. But every day, our identity is, I'm an employee, I'm a president of the ministry, or I'm a director, or I'm working in human resources, or I'm in the prayer department, or whatever. But this kind of becomes our identity, doesn't it? More than it should be in our lives. But that's just the way we're sort of wired. And when I was thinking of identity, man, we got a great story of transition in the scripture, almost immediate identity change, and that's Saul to Paul. And if you read the story, you know that Saul was a killer of the believers. His mission was to destroy Christianity and to squelch this new religion. And we know on the Damascus Road that Jesus laid him flat on the ground, took his vision, sent him for 3 days before his vision would come back. How did he respond at the end of that? What did that transition that occurred, where not only did he come out with not the same name, he came out with a whole new identity, didn't he? Talk about new identity. He was Saul, the killer. Now he was Paul, the evangelist.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. In just a moment, Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching. Today's teaching is just part of a larger study provided to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Find out about the entire study and how you can get a copy for yourself. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4.
Important is it for you to change something?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Well, if it's important, you got to let other people know. They have to know so that they can offer encouragement or resources or suggestions to help. Remember, most people will support you. But first, you've got to identify and make sure that those people are around you. Announce your goals to other people and share it even in writing with those you trust. Stay open to other people's suggestions and even to the opportunities that may present themselves, and ask others to help hold you accountable. It helps. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy's program today is from a larger teaching called The Introduction for the Transition Series. And when you become a monthly supporter, you'll receive our Intentional Living New Member Kit as thanks. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-1717 and press number 4. Now let's get back with Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching.
Talk about new identity. He was Saul, the killer. Now he was Paul, the evangelist. Here's what it says in Acts 9, 19 and 20. And when he received food, you can imagine he was exhausted after everything had gone on. 3 days waiting to hear what was going to go on. He was strengthened. And then Saul spent some time, some days with the disciples in Damascus, which is interesting. Those disciples must have been a little suspicious, right? Here's the guy. Is this a trick to get in here and take our heads, right? He spent some time with the disciples at Damascus, and then immediately, it says, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Here's how he went through this transition. 3 days earlier, he was a murderer. 3 days later, he's with the disciples praising God and out being a preacher. Hello? I mean, let's just get there for a moment. If anybody questions the transformation that can occur in a life as a result of the Holy Spirit and God's working in a life, all you have to do is get to Saul to Paul and see what happened in this guy's life. But how he responded, he didn't go to the hills. He didn't wait. He got up. He was a man of action. This is real. God changed my life. I can just see him with the disciples saying, download what you know. Give me, you know, I want to know what this is all about. Help me. And then he's out. He's out the door and he's preaching. He was a man of action. So here's his transition was, God changed me, changed my life, and I'm out. You know people who've done that? You've seen people, haven't you? People who've come from the depths of sin and deprivation in their life, they find Christ and they're out preaching. They may even know what they're doing, but they're out preaching, right? I mean, they're so excited about what God has done that they're out there on the road with this new identity that God's given them. Well, there's a couple more. Transition can be very painful. Very painful. And, of course, I relate more to my own stories, so I can share those with you because they're my own experience. But I think probably one of the most painful transitions that I have experienced was when my dad died. Not only for me, my transition, because I was close to my father, but to watch my mother. As we went to the hospital that morning, and my dad had been in a coma for, probably 3 weeks, never regained consciousness. And they called and said, you know, we think today's the day that, you know, he's not going to continue to be able to survive. And so we rushed to the hospital, Donna and I and my mother, and was there when my dad passed. We went through that process. But what lingers in my mind is not even so much watching my dad pass, because I could see he was gone 3 weeks earlier in many ways. He was gone. He just wasn't there, you know. But it was to see with my mother taking her hand, Donna and I, and walking down the hallway for the very first time with her all alone. And her husband of nearly 60 years is gone. That's a transition. That was painful. And I think in our lives, sometimes we get into these transitions, they're very, very painful. And when we experience that kind of pain, the question is, how is it that we respond to it? And I was thinking of Job. We know the story, you know, but let me just share a little bit of it and then tell you how he responded to this. Talk about an ordinary day. He's living his life. He's wealthy. He's got all this stuff. And there's this cosmic thing going on between Satan and God. And Job is caught up in the middle of this, right? We know that whole story, which is a whole interesting discussion in and of itself, right? But here's Job. And listen to what happens. And it starts right in chapter 1. Now, there was a day, just another day in Job's life, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. In other words, things were good. They were having wine and food and things were good and the cash flow was coming in and the business was growing and the family was healthy and all of those things. And the messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when Sabans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they killed the servants with the edge of the sword and I alone have escaped to tell you. Think, okay, all right, lost some servants, not good. Not good, right? While he was still speaking, another also came in and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now it's not really good. I mean, it's getting worse, right? He's thinking, okay, this is going to be a bad day. While he was still speaking, another also came in and said the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. At this point, he's going to lock the door, right? He's going to say, come on, you got to be kidding me. Is this like hidden camera, you know, kind of a day? While he was still speaking, another also came in and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now it's getting personal. Lost his servants, lost his camels, now his children are gone. Okay?
Well, we're going to pick up right from that point and continue this series on transitions on tomorrow's program. In a few minutes, we got some callers standing by who want to join in on this topic as well as they're going through transitions. We'll get to that in a minute. Before we do, however, I want to remind you, well, first of all, I want to say thank you. I want to say thanks to those who are supporting the ministry. We've got single moms and dads. We've got couples and business people who are supporting the Intentional Living message and ministry. Thank you allowing us to do this. I want to say thanks to Paul and June, who've just recently joined us from Hope, Michigan. There's a good city name, right? Hope, great place. Nathan and Dolores from Yuma, Arizona, thank you. Here's David and Karen from Jackson, Michigan, my hometown, our hometown, thank you. And if you're not a member, I'd invite you to come and join us. You know, your monthly support, because we're listener-supported, frankly, is the backbone to allow us to do this. It feeds the satellite and it keeps the staff and allows us to get out into the stations and do what we do. And the way we say thanks is to send you every month my teaching. So this month, for instance, on CD, you'll receive this entire series on transitions that I'm teaching this month, including the first one on empty nests. So both of those will be coming your way as a way of saying thank you for joining up as a new member of Intentional Living. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4. Come and join us today. Boy, thank you so much. All right, let's get to our callers. We have Michelle on the line first. Michelle, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Hi, Dr. Rosen.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
All right, we're talking about change today. Motivated you to call. What's the one thing you would like to change?
Just to change, not the little things get to me. Actually, it does affect me like the next day and the following day. So it has effect for, I'd say, almost 20 years. And for like the last 10 years, I've been working on it. And just recently, just like a little, I see it a little bit now. I wish I had it earlier. I'm still working on it, which is like constantly. It's like,
well, what are the little things that bug you?
Like, I live with my sister and she has 7 kids.
How many kids?
Out.
How many?
Seven.
That's not a little thing. 7 kids, okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, for the past couple of years, I mean, she's been living with us. So it's like, I got to just let it go, not let it get to me, watch my anger emotions and just let it be. And just that's how it is, you know. But it has affected me with my sleep and work and everything. So, but I'm trying to, like, keep it cool. I don't know when the best thing to talk.
Well,
to speak or not speak.
Well, Michelle, see, I don't consider that to be a little thing. If your sister's living with you and her 7 kids, and my guess is there's some things that are bugging you that are maybe very legitimate things that you need to sit down and talk about. See, to me, the little things that I try not to let bug me are the things I have zero control over. You know, some guy going down the road thinks I'm not driving fast enough and, you know, comes flying around me and then, you know, tries to cut you off. You know, to me, that's sort of a little thing. I have no control over it. Pray for him and keep going. Having to get in the wrong line at the store, you know, you try to find the shortest line and you end up being in the longest one. You don't have much control over that, a little bit, but those are the little things. But when you have life issues, family members, relationships, things that are need to be dealt with, see, those are situations that if you let them build up, they don't become a little thing. Little things tend to get to be big things unless you're willing to sit down and discuss them. And I'm just wondering if there's a whole lot of wanting to please people going on where instead of saying, hey, we got to resolve some things.
Well, the thing is that the communication has stopped, so it's just like it's like living in a hotel. It just kind of, you know, that's what it seems like. I mean, it just, I mean, how are you supposed to do, like you said, the little things you can't say anything about, but the big things with someone.
Well, if that were me, Michelle, and I, you know, obviously there's nuances to your story I don't understand, so I'm generalizing, but if I had someone living in my home, and it's my home, and they're there as my guest, and I'm trying to help them, and we got some issues we need to deal with, they're not going to tell me we're not going to talk about it. They're not going to cut off communication. It's my home. We're going to talk about it. We're going to resolve these things. And it's better to lay them on the table, get them the proverbial cards face up, and deal with these issues in a healthy, godly, intentional way. Because if you don't, they fester. You know, it's just like a pricker, and we have a lot of those here in Arizona, and they get in your skin. And sometimes you can see them and pull them out, and sometimes you can't. And when you can't pull them out, they fester, and they get red, and they hurt, and they irritate. And your whole body's overtaken by this little pricker you can't see in your life. And there are times you've got to be able to just say, to do the right thing, I've got to confront an issue and get it on the table. How do you do that? Well, there's many ways of doing it. But certainly it's got to be a decision to say, there's a difference between little things and big things. Little things I'll let go. But big things have to be dealt with because they'll become bigger if I don't. Okay, Michelle, let's go to Leanne. Welcome to the program, Leanne.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What's your what's the thing you'd like to change?
I have been smoking longer than I've been a Christian, and I have been trying to quit for probably 30 years now. God delivered me from it twice, and I've blown it. About 2 years after the first time I blew it and started smoking again, I had no relationship with God, even though I was reaching out to Him. And one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, you never asked for forgiveness for that gift I gave you. And once I did that, I mean, oh, the floodgates opened, and I had a great relationship with Him again. But I'm still smoking. And just recently, I believe He delivered me. It wasn't a good day, in my opinion. You know, like God couldn't deliver me no matter what the circumstances. And I started again. And I was so mad at myself for doing that.
What's the trigger? What's the one thing that sets it off for you? Is it anxiety or stress or people or what?
Yeah, all of that.
Okay. One of the things we know about habits, and that's what we're talking about, and I understand I'm not a smoker, have never smoked, but I know that people who do, it can become very addictive. I think for a Christian, one of our great weapons against a bad habit, such as smoking, is to understand the process that habits are formed and maintained only with a craving. Without a craving, a habit doesn't stick. I don't have a habit of overeating broccoli, but I certainly can when it comes to things like Life cereal and chocolate, see, because at those things, I have more of a craving for them. In the book of James, the scripture tells us that when our cravings or our desires take full birth in our lives, sinful desires, they create death. It's the cycle of habits. And so there's a very basic, and I know this needs elaboration. I don't have the time for the elaboration, but I'll give you the principle. The scriptural principle of changing a habit is changing your craving, changing your desires. And when the desire to please Christ is stronger than the desire to overeat, smoke, bad attitude, actions, whatever, when it's stronger, that's the greatest weapon you can have, in my opinion, to breaking a bad habit and changing your life for the better. Hope that helps. Thanks for your call, Ian.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Oh, thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it. And, you know, this has been a great series so far. We're going to come back tomorrow and we'll talk about some of the painful transitions. Life can be filled with painful ones. I hope you'll join us. I hope this series has been helpful to you, and I want to thank those of you who are standing with us in support. I'll tell you how you can receive this series on CD in just a moment. First, however, I want to mention that we're beginning our series of conferences for couples excited about taking the intentional love message, how to live and love each other in your marriage, on the road. And we're going to be traveling this year around the country. And we begin the Intentional Love Marriage Conference in San Luis Obispo. That'll be on March the 24th. My wife Donna and I and some of our team will be there at the Agape Church. It'll be a lot of fun. Love to meet you. If you haven't registered, get that registration today. All right, just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on events. It'll be right there on the homepage as well. I got some more to share with you here in just a moment.
I was just listening, and a guy named Tom called in, and he's a new Christian, and he said so many things that I feel. I've been a Christian since I was a child, but it's been very different in the last little while, and it's so different. I'm so different, and it's so hard, but it's so good, and I'm just really grateful that we've got this radio station making, and I'm trying very hard to live an intentional life, and I just... Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, you're welcome. You know, let me just add, I know that you may be a person who's really struggling today, and you've been through it in your life. You've made mistakes, you've blown it, or life has just kind of caved in on you, and you're thinking, hey, I want to be intentional, and maybe this is going to be the transformation of my life. I can tell you this. We're talking about God. Make sure that you're intentional, first off, with your relationship with Christ, that you have your relationship with Him clear. And then as you live every day intentionally, don't do it under a sense of bondage or obligation, but freedom. One of the things I least would want to see is people feeling in bondage to being intentional. This is a freedom message. In fact, that's the process we call it. It's freedom, to experience freedom in your walk with Christ. We're going to have more on painful transitions. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's program. Just as we wrap it up, though, I want to again say thanks to those of you who are supporting the ministry. You're standing with us every day, every month. Thank you. It really makes a difference. And I'd love to have you come and join us on this journey. All you have to do is just come to the website. You can check out the details at theintentionallife.com. Click donate or call and talk to one of our staff at 888-888-1717 and press number 4. We'll send you the new members kit when you join us, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, two books I wrote, autographed to you, plus this series on CD, Transitions, along with the first one coming up on Empty Nest, the first transition coming up a little bit later here this month. So again, thank you for joining me, and we'll see you again tomorrow with more Intentional Living.